There's a thousand pretty women living out there. They're all living the devil may care. Well, I'm just a devil with a lot of despair. So viva Las Vegas!
Viva. Thank you, Wayne Newton, for that fabulous intro. You're listening to Cats with the Dish. This is John Katsalamidis. I write the Cats Report in the Las Vegas Sun, Las Vegas Weekly, LasVegasSun.com, LasVegasWeekly.com, and I write for all the titles in Greenspun Media Group, including The Sunday, our news magazine, which comes out on the Sunday, except when it comes out on
the Saturday.
The Saturday, Trish McCrone.
Hi, Katsy.
Sitting on my lap today, everybody.
I am.
Woo-hoo!
Yes, we have a shortage of chairs, so I just have
chairs. That's not all we have a shortage of.
With me, it's usually brain cells after my week. Yeah.
You've been doing the Shenandoah thing. I've seen it.
Yes,
on the Instagram and in life too. I don't know just from Instagram, but
yes,
I know you've
exactly.
been busy. You guys have been busy down there. How are you holding up? How's everything?
Good. Yeah. We're just plugging away, but it's going to be very cool. I'm even leaving right here to go and do more editing. We've been shooting the last couple days, and we're going to edit. And it's a very interactive, very cool experience.
There will be a video component to the Shenandoah Wayne Newton Museum.
Yes, and it will involve Wayne Newton, believe it or not.
Mr. Las Vegas Wayne Newton. I can't wait to see this thing. I'm really excited about it.
So, yeah, I'm kind of excited. And I do have to say, what's really depressing is that I've tried on a few costumes.
Oh my God,
before
really?
I put them on the mannequins, and I might have a couple photos, but the thing is that back in the 70s, Wayne was so tiny that I can't even zip some of the jumpsuits. Yes, jumpsuits.
Yeah,
I can't zip them over. I can't zip them over like skinny mannequins. Like I can't get them. Like I barely got it on me. I'm a size 6, and I barely got them on me.
So what era are we talking? We're talking
like
about the 70s.
Early 70s? Yeah, wow. I mean it's like if you look at the back, there were belts that like wouldn't go around the mannequin, so I had to use like my hair tie. So there's a lot of hidden tricks that people aren't going to know about.
Another use for the hair tie.
Yeah, that I've used for this, but it's going to be very very cool, and I'm excited. And every day we're getting a little closer, and you know, so
very good.
Yeah.
Well, with all that, we're going to keep track of that for sure, and I'm looking forward to writing about it. But until then, we have this radio show. We're going to have up next Josh Bell, as always, with his take on the latest movie releases. And then afterward, we have three gentlemen.
Yes, that we saw Sunday night.
In rotation, we saw him Sunday night in a show called Puppetry of the Penis. It's going to be a very fascinating conversation, I promise you. So stick around. I know we will.
This is Terry Fader, and I'm Barry Fabulous. You're listening to Cats with a Dish.
Well, we haven't been formally introduced.
Ilsa Faust, we're after the same thing, and I can help you.
That's Tom Cruise, Simon Pegg, and Rebecca Ferguson in the new sequel Mission Impossible Rogue Nation. I'm Josh Bell, film critic for Las Vegas Weekly, with a look at what's new in theaters this week. The fifth movie in the remarkably consistent action series finds Cruise's secret agent Ethan Hunt once again on the run after being disavowed by the very government he works for. Cruise's Jack Reacher director Christopher McQuarrie takes over for this installment, and while he isn't the visual stylist that some of his predecessors were, he puts his stamp on the story in its twisty plotting and robust action. If Rogue Nation loses momentum toward the end and ultimately falls short of Brad Bird's Ghost Protocol and Brian De Palma's 1996 original, it's still an entertaining and exciting ride, a strong example of the best in blockbuster filmmaking. I give Mission Impossible Rogue Nation 3.5 stars out of 5. Also opening this week is the comedy Vacation, starring Ed Helms.
The four of us are going to take a little trip.
Paris.
No, much better. We're driving to Wally World.
What?
This franchise sequel/reboot recycles the plot of the 1983 original, replacing previous Griswold family patriarch Clark, played by Chevy Chase, who makes a brief appearance, with his son Rusty, played by Ed Helms. Like his father, Rusty is a hapless but well-intentioned dad who just wants to show his family a good time by taking them on a cross-country road trip. Relying heavily on nasty, gross-out humor, Vacation is a series of belabored, poorly executed jokes, a sad recreation of a once-beloved comedy franchise. I give Vacation 2 stars out of 5. That's a look at what's new in theaters this week. Check out my reviews in Las Vegas Weekly and my blog at joshbellhateseverything.com.
Welcome back. Sitting with us now are three members of a production in Las Vegas that stretches more than the imagination. The show certainly has the lowest wardrobe budget of any in the city's history, but does it have staying power or will it flop? Welcome to Cats with a Dish, the stars of Puppetry of the Penis, Rich Binning, Robert Ryan, and Barry Briscoe. Welcome, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Thanks for making it down here.
I have to give a little disclaimer beforehand that Rich is from Ohio. So therefore,
That's a fact, isn't it?
I have a favorite member in this group, I guess is the best way to say it. I've already picked my favorite.
You also might have a least favorite member because Robert's from Michigan.
Okay, let's talk about Ohio State.
Oh my God. They've got Jim Harbaugh, the former 49er coach, going with the Wolverines now. Wait. We're talking about it. Yeah. I know about this Ohio State, Buckeyes, Michigan.
So
rivalry. The oldest football in the world is at Michigan. It's the first.
On the same topic, let's talk about how these guys got into this.
We are not here to talk sports. All right. Here's what I'll open this up. And after I've seen the show two times now. And the presentation is two guys on stage at the same time. So you all rotate. Is that how this pretty much
exactly.
works? Okay. I'll ask you what I call the high school guidance counselor question. And that. Certainly, your high school guidance counselor did not tell you when you were a teenager that this would be your vocation, I would expect, right? Rich, if you could start, how did you get to the stage in Las Vegas performing this show?
Well, I went to a performing arts college and theater school. I saw someone do a hamburger trick, which is one of the ones that we do in the show.
I have a selfie.
Yes, you do.
Installation in the show, and it's genital origami for the shorthand
and I thought version it was, of it. And okay. I thought it was the funniest thing I'd ever seen. So I asked him to teach me how to make a burger, and then I started doing burgers at parties for people. And then that's actually, Robert and I were working on a show. This is years before I was even a part of Puppetry. And
so
I showed Robert how to do some
tricks.
It's very much a locker room kind of show, you're changing, you got your pants off, and oh, look what I can do. So that's how it started for me. And then they had Puppetry of the Penis had an audition in New York. I just moved to New York to start auditioning, and it was the first job I was offered, and that was 6 years ago.
So you already had the skill, basically.
Yeah.
Okay, so I have to ask this. Because being a girl who has never spent time in a men's locker room that I'm willing to share on the radio, I need to know, is this something that guys just do are guys in the locker room, oh, look what I can do and do this sort of stuff? Is this something that happens? I mean, that seems something I've never heard of before.
You got to be a certain type of guy. You got to be that guy. You know what I mean? Like that guy who's probably getting naked all the time and all that. Because, you know, most guys, we're always taught to, like, you know, you don't want to put your penis out. You don't put it out. You don't pull it out. You don't do that. It's your private area and so on and so forth. But then, like, you know, you have that one person that usually goes rogue and, hey, turn around, look at what I can do. And, you know, and that was really funny, you know. And so that's basically, you know, what our show is. It's, hey, look at what I can do with my penis.
But yeah, but there's guys. I mean, you always see, like, I think guys are freer walking around naked in a locker room than women
you
are.
Think
yeah.
That.
Yeah, definitely. Strange.
You think that, huh?
I don't know, man, because I was, I'm trying, and I'm remembering, as a hobbyist, mind you, as a hobbyist in this book, what it was like being in locker rooms as an athlete and up through high school. And I don't remember anybody doing the hamburger.
Well, no, but I mean, like, when everybody was naked. I will be honest with you. Having my limited knowledge of the subject, that I will say that I was very shocked that certain members of the private area of a male were so stretchy. And then once they were so stretchy, I was shocked at the fact that then your private area would not look like a Sharpay after doing it for so long, so many years. Like, you would think that the skin would stretch and sag much like, I mean, I won't rub my eyes because I'm worried about wrinkles on my eyes. Like, I won't rub the sides of my eyes if they itch because I'm like, oh, the skin's going to stretch and I'm going to have wrinkles.
Right?
So I would think it would be the same way.
But you're fine rubbing these guys. Right?
it's like memory foam.
It just goes back.
It just goes back. Yeah.
Memory foam.
Silly putty.
Well, we recently had a doctor in, and she told us that what we're doing is actually really good and healthy for the penis. It doesn't let there be calcium build up and deposits, and it's.
This is in Las Vegas.
I've been doing it for 13 years, and I'm fine.
So, Barry, going around the corner on this question, how did you originally hook up with the show?
I was I went to college too.
I think the Lord, you boys are using those degrees. Yes, those degrees are coming in handy. I can tell.
I ended up teaching.
There might
school,
be a major in this.
And I was a school teacher, and I was in New York, and I was performing in a show, and then that show actually went on to the Edinburgh Festival. And our show and then Puppetry of the Penis was there for the very first time. This was like 2001, I believe.
So it's been going on for about 15 years, the show.
Yeah, I think exactly. But then they put in the first time the guys got together and began to form a show. And then we got to go see their show, and it was like standing room only. They were sold out. And it was standing in the front. We were making noise. Everyone was just screaming the whole time. And then we have like this one trick. And they called for audience participation. I'm like, me? I thought I was going to get to do a
penis
penis trick. And if there wasn't a penis trick, I was, you know, I was part of it. Now we became part of the show. And then after that, they're way more liberal overseas than we are with nudity and, mm-hmm. and just taking it out in bars. You're not going to get dragged out. I guess not. Nobody did.
A lot
of penises came out. A lot of bars over there.
Well, there's not much to grab you for. There's not much to grab. That you can only grab one area.
The bartenders would run from behind the bar and go, "Hey, look at what my trick is. Look at what I can do." And over in Australia, they just reach over and grab their friend. Like, "You're doing it wrong. Here, pull."
Wow.
But yeah, but I met them over in Australia. Sorry, over in Scotland in 2001, and we just became friends. They asked me to do the show several times, and I was like, I just couldn't get naked. I was a little shy at the time, and mm-hmm. then I hurt myself in my show, couldn't perform, and this was the only thing I could do was move my hands.
Oh,
yeah, and then Simon was just like,
well, you do some things without moving your hands, though. During the show, you did a trick where your hands were not involved, which was impressive.
Mind.
Yes, that was impressive.
You can do the penis mind trick.
But I can do all of that.
But you know, if you get hurt in your show, this is your show to do it.
Yeah. So the first time, that was the first time you got naked in front of an audience, the first time you performed in the show?
Yes.
Wow. And yes. That's not just not getting naked, that's getting naked.
Getting naked and pulling on it, and it was in front of, and it was at the Forum in Melbourne, which holds 1,200 people. So it was a lot of people.
Oh, and Aussies are crazy. So I'm sure.
And it was a comedy festival, so it was a bunch of comedians out there who I had to face afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone, you may have this question later. Everyone always worries about you getting excited and going too far.
Yes, I was going to ask that. Do you have to take some sort of a?
No.
I would have meant the anti-Cialis or Viagra or something.
How's that ever happened?
The whole thing is you're absolutely, on the opposite end of that, you're more worried about it shrinking up and disappearing.
Yeah, if you're at home I can't rehearse at home because then it happens. But when we're on stage and there's the audience to worry about and just a lot of things going on in your brain and trying to perform, and you're worried about the opposite. We're just tugging at it.
If you don't notice that, we keep pulling it.
I was wondering that question myself. That it's like I would think that at some point, I mean, I don't know, air conditioning or something
For the audience participation part is always a little risky because sometimes we get a really cute girl on stage and then she'll try and get a little handsy or flirty.
She'll blow.
I'm like, oh, this is
she'll
not
blow.
Good. Let's get her off stage now before
we had a woman last week. Hey, how you doing up there? I'm in love with you.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
You seem a little nervous. I'm not nervous. I'll do anything you want. So it's a whole new show.
Yeah.
So you're like, please sit down, ma'am, before I have to. Okay,
great.
So now we'll move on. Robert, how about you?
I also went to a performing arts school.
You guys went together and practiced the hamburger.
Well, not the same school, but we worked on a contract together at Hershey Park.
Yeah, we
were doing
theme park
shows
work.
At Hershey Park together 8 years ago.
And that's where I met Rich, and we were just at a park. And one of our friends taught me the burger, and we started to.
That's the baseline installation, right? The burger, the hamburger.
Yeah,
that's the one you learned first.
That's the classic. Yeah, that's the classic. It's where it all started. Yeah.
Back to it. Takes a certain type of guy.
Gentlemen, which you can do. It's not that difficult. The hamburger's not that difficult. It's pretty easy.
After seeing the show twice. Cats,
does that mean you've practiced?
Have you ever?
I can do it.
Wow. Yeah. See, I would imagine.
We don't believe you.
You didn't get on stage and do it with us.
Next time,
we even
right?
asked if
he
anyone
can do
wanted
it right
to
now.
Do it on
Nobody
stage.
Can see.
It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen on
Seriously,
your stage.
Seriously, Kylie and I won't look. Kylie's
turn
a producer.
Around,
we
turn around.
But here's the thing about it is the brilliance of this show is that it's an idea that you wouldn't normally think of actually trying to physically execute.
But when you do, you find out you can actually do it. It's just there's some kind of barrier between the idea and the actual physical execution of it. There's some kind of fear involved, I think. There's some kind of barrier between doing
it. I'm going to throw this out here. It is such a double standard in the world that a woman, like whether it's Game of Thrones or whether it's television or movies or anything, that, and even performing in Las Vegas, women can be 100% naked. Mm-hmm. Bare breasts are everywhere, and now it's kind of like the male genitalia is like something that's taboo that can't be shown, or it makes it an X-rated movie or something.
Isn't that disgusting?
And then you see people murdering each other everywhere, and it's like, and it's not. I think it's a total double standard. It's a total sexist way to look at the world.
This very issue you've hit on has prevented this show from being presented in a different location. And it's at the Erotic Heritage Museum on Highland Way, Harry Mahoney's place. As I said, Harry Mahoney sounds like one of the installations. But it's down there. It's off the strip. And in the original form, Simon Morley, who is the developer of the show, had tried to pitch it around town and couldn't find a taker because of its frontal nudity aspects.
We can't be in a casino. We can't be anywhere there's alcohol being served.
Frontal nudity. I mean, that was just the word penis was absolutely turning people off. And I mean, I didn't realize until I actually got to Vegas and just said, like, just like you said, I mean, you can trip over a pair of breasts on every corner. You can get a limousine to the chicken ranch. You can get all of this. And it's all like, we will shove female sex down your throat. But we mentioned the male genitalia, which is, you know, correct term is penis, and we say, and you say penis, they don't want it on the signs. They'll get those signs down, get that out of my casino, get that from in front of my casino. It's just like, I mean, I remember out there doing, I came along in the beginning of the show when Fitchy was here, we were doing marketing, and I remember a lady, she's just like, are you putting the word penis in front of my kids? I'm like, you brought your child out to the strip. And all of those little boys.
Yeah, girls direct to you.
I said, what kind of message are you sending to those little boys by covering up their eyes where they can't see the word penis? And then she walked away, and she may have said something about the Lord. I said, ma'am, even Jesus had a penis.
Yes, exactly.
Even Jesus had a penis, you know. And I'm just like, I can't believe I'm seriously having this conversation with you. And you're responsible for raising three little boys right now, and you don't want them to know what they have? Think about that, Vegas.
Again, I just don't – I just don't understand why it's so sexist one towards the other. If we're going to be this way with nudity, then do the same with women.
Yeah.
Right. You know, don't segregate it to men and to women. Yeah, but I do have to say that in watching the show, which you can't really even describe it. You have to see it. Because back in when it was in New York, or I assume it's still in New York, but when I first heard about it so many years ago in New York, I was like, wow, I wonder how that happens, how they do that. Both physically and how you show it to an audience. Mm-hmm. What you guys say, I mean, it is very shocking moment when all of a sudden, and I love that the shoes are there, the tennis shoes.
We'd never be completely naked.
We're never completely naked.
Yeah, they're never really naked. And I loved that. To me, that was, you know, that was so funny about it. I love that. But it is that shock value of that all of a sudden you're there and you are naked. And by the way, I did not see you in the show. I'm so sorry.
Next time. But I want to ask Robert about this. We're talking about the family aspect of this thing too. You're in a family show otherwise.
Yes.
Yeah, right? I mean, you're in V, the Ultimate Variety Show. It's a long-running David Sachs production as a member of the Quiddlers.
I think we were voted like
you're
best.
You're a Quiddler?
Yeah. He's one of the Quiddlers.
Oh, my
Robert.
God.
Yeah. So there you have it.
I can do that?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I'm the sailor.
Oh, my God. I love it.
You guys are just
That's
on...
So cute.
On the
I can do that.
Contest
NBC's,
show.
Yeah,
Cheryl Burke is a good friend of mine.
So okay. Small world.
How's the comparison? I guess is what I'm asking between your audience.
It's a lot of hand work in both.
They're both family shows.
I'm a puppeteer in both shows. I guess
you are a puppeteer. Yes, you do a lot with your hands in both shows.
Yeah, I do. It's odd. At V, the Ultimate Variety Show, I'm on my knees more than I am at Puppetry of the Penis.
I'm going to not make a joke on there.
Nobody gets on their knees in our show.
No, it's great. It's nice. I get to split my time and do something wonderful, spoken word, improv with these guys. and then entertain the masses.
How much of the show is improv, by the way? I've seen it twice. It seems like there's kind of the same shtick, the same baseline script in each show, but you come off that.
We have a set script, but we're talking to the audience the whole time, so sometimes we just have to react to what's happening with the audience or, you know, different things like that. In kind of in the way that Absinthe, if you've seen Absinthe, is with the gazillionaire, just always talking to the audience. Yeah.
I do have to say one of my favorite moments the other night was with you, Rich. My Ohio friend, when you were doing something in the audience, and Barry, you were up there, and you were kind of the focal point, and Rich, you came to, and it was like you were there, and you know, you're in your tennis shoes, and you're naked, and by this point, we are used to you being naked, because we've seen you that way. By the way, incredible physiques, both of you. As a woman, I have to acknowledge that. But all of a sudden, people came back in. I could say hot bodies. It's hot bodies.
Thank you. So, thank you very much.
So all of a sudden, two women came in from the bathroom, and Rich, you're standing there naked, and all of a sudden they're like walking by, and I don't think, because I think they were just trying to get by their seats, you just look at me, you're like, hi ladies, and the way you said,
hey, how's it going,
you're like, how's it going, and it was just a funny thing, like you would say to somebody
that was funny,
completely naked guy addressing these two women, that it was like, we both were laughing about that after the fact. It was one of our favorite moments. It was just
there was another show at that same moment in the show when I'm off the stage. People were leaving to go to the bathroom, but they couldn't find the exit door. So then I found myself opening the door for them.
Welcome to. So let's talk a little bit about the actual installations, they're called themselves, what you do on stage.
High art, yes.
Yeah,
high
you've got art. Loch Ness Monster, the hamburger we've talked about. There's an any number. There's an Eiffel Tower. Done. Sort of
I have to say, I thought that the Miley Cyrus and Kim Kardashian were very
funny.
Yeah, that was very.
Yeah,
funny.
Those are new. Just to Las Vegas.
Those are Vegas jokes.
Big hits.
Do you sit at home trying to think of new installations? Like, oh, gee, this could look like this.
Yeah. What is the development process like?
Sometimes they just happen. We've been rehearsing a lot lately, training new camera operators. And when we're just working and rehearsing, it's often that's how Miley Cyrus came about. Yeah. And Kim Kardashian came about because when we do the Atomic Mushroom, local here, we also used to call it the Heather Mills when we were overseas. Paul McCartney's ex-wife who has one leg.
Yeah, she's got a prosthetic leg.
Looked like a big butt and one leg. We're like, well, Heather Mills, people don't know Heather Mills as well here in the States. What could we do that's like, who has a big butt? Oh, I know, Kim Kardashian has a big butt. How can we make that work? Oh, that photo that broke the internet. Great, let's see that.
When I was talking to Simon in the run-up to the show in April, he was saying that he was looking around Las Vegas at our architecture.
Yeah.
But, you know, and you do the Eiffel Tower, which I think predates the Vegas show anyway.
Yeah. Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
But have you guys gone in that direction yet and really figured out a way to do Stratosphere or any of the other?
We wanted to make a high roller one with a kind of what we do with the North by Northwest with the spin.
Oh yeah, right.
Oh, yeah.
But the high roller goes so slow.
Yeah.
It's a high roller. You'll get it in a minute. It'll be there. But the Stratosphere Tower, I mean, you're getting back to like what we were talking about earlier. You know, I mean, that's the one trick that you can't do, because then you only have one trick. That's your erection trick.
Yeah.
And it's just, and then your show is over. That's when you go, thank you very much, folks, and good night.
You have to have some accessories to help it out.
Yes. I mean, right? It's like,
Is it difficult when, I mean, because our, sometimes I would think that the audiences, I think they're more fun when they're drunk, like every show, and they're there to have a good time. But when you have a little bit of a quieter audience, I would think that has got to be so difficult, especially because you're not just, like, comics just, they're always like, well, I'm exposing myself on stage. No, this is exposing yourself on stage, both comedically and physically.
Very
true. So, I mean, how do you get past that?
Were they in the night that it was actually a quiet evening?
It was. You were here actually. Yeah, quieter.
I was surprised how quiet it was.
I remember thinking, I wish you were here the night before, because it was like a wild night the night before, and it's been
Sunday,
a lot more of those lately. But when we first opened here, because the show hadn't been here before and people weren't really sure what it was going to be when we did the reveal, which happens in the first several minutes of the show, it just happens early on. We are used to opening up the capes and we're standing there full frontal and everyone's cheering. And the first few shows that we did, we threw open the capes and it was just crickets. I'm like, this is going to be a long hour.
It's not easy to warm up a crowd in this environment.
Yeah, I can understand that in a way, because of the fact that you don't want to like be like, I guess you don't want to laugh. You don't want this, because you're like, I think that Americans, we're so worried about trying to be polite about something. Like, we don't want to seem like we're reacting to something. But I remember thinking that, because I know I let out a yell and I was like, I think it was Josh Strickland and I were the only two that like were vocal at that moment.
Yeah, it's okay to laugh at our penises.
Yeah, yeah, but you know, I think it takes a minute for us to. It takes a minute for us to realize that. I think.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It was like then once you guys start joking, then it became more because I remember I let out a yelp and I was one of the only ones, and then I was kind of embarrassed that I let out a yelp when I did. You know, because I just didn't expect it to happen so fast. You know that, or I thought you might have. I don't know, something on, but it was just like, bam, there you
it's
are.
It's that combination of nudity and comedy that we're not that used to.
Yes,
yeah.
The nudity that we have in Las Vegas is very sexual and very, you know, very stylistic in the adult female shows. Primarily.
Our show is not the, sexy.
There's nothing
it's
sexual
very
about
it's
sexual. Yeah.
Nothing sexual about our show.
That's the people I don't think that they need to accept that when they walk in. Because
what we do is comedy. The vehicle just happens to be naked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And I think because we're just used to, especially in Vegas, to it being a nudity to be sexual thing, that it's like there's nothing sexual about the show at all, really.
Not at all.
Other than the fact that you guys have great bodies, you know, other than that, you know, but as far as what you're doing is not like, oh, I'm turning you on.
There's no sexuality in the show at all, you know, and it's very non-sexual, and the show is for absolutely everybody. I mean, I think some of our best audience members are couples that came in. You know, the male and female couple come in, and they just, I mean, they have a whole new world to explore after they leave our show, and then they're no longer, and then she can ask him questions about his penis and so on and so forth. And I mean, we're doing a really good thing because we are we're taking the shame off of the penis.
Well, I, as a woman, I'm going to say this. I know we're running a little bit long, but that's okay.
Long.
No,
she said long.
Yes, we're trying to beat us about hip-ass. So with this particular episode, we are, yes. But no, I mean, as a woman, I guess the only thing that we really know other than sexually is that it's a very sensitive area that, you know, you see all the videos of the people getting hit in that area and like, oh, the pain and all of that sort of stuff. That it's like, I think that, you know, and you having to be so, you know, not rough, I guess, with that area is kind of what women it's instilled in our brains. That it's very, it is, that's a thing that I learned about it is how really versatile. How really versatile and not as sensitive in certain areas that I would have thought.
When it's soft.
You can pull it.
When it's soft.
Oh, yes.
It can take a beating. Yeah.
Yeah. It's the same thing, too, about laughing at it. You can laugh at our penises. Don't, ladies and people out there, don't just go laughing at people's penises.
There you go. Yeah.
Well, it's a classic case of know your audience.
Yes.
As we say in these parts, we gotta wrap it up.
Oh!
Thank you guys very much for coming down. You guys are terrific, and what you do is uniquely entertaining. I will give you that, and I root for it to succeed. It's called Puppetry of the Penis. It's stage two. Oh, I'm Wednesday. Sorry. Wednesday.
Every Sunday. Day except Tuesday.
Yep. Every day except Tuesday. Dark Tuesday. 8 p.m., or in Barry's case, dark every day. 8 p.m.
Yeah, baby.
It's at the Erotic Heritage Museum. We'll have you back as a...
Women,
we'll
go see it. It's educational. It's educational, women. Go.
We'll have you back as your popularity grows.
Come on Monday night and we'll take you for a drink afterwards.
Woo!
Viva! Viva! Las Vegas!